you know, I just want to, I'm not going to be long. I'm just going to read a couple things here. I'm going to quote some Mark Batterson tonight that wrote the book, the Circle Drawing Prayers. Remember to draw a circle. And then he had the 40-day devotional. We may get into some of that, but he taught us to draw circles when we pray. And pray those things over and over and over. What we used to call it growing up in the church was praying through. You know, we would pray that thing through. I mean, we didn't ease up until we saw the answer to prayer. And we didn't stop. We kept on praying. And so today, I think Satan comes to wear down the saints. And if you don't see it within your time, as 6 months or whatever, if you don't see it in your time, sometimes you get discouraged and quit praying and forget about it. And then later on when it happens, you forget to thank him for it because you hadn't even been praying for it. And you're like, whoa, I was shocked. It happened. No, you prayed for it way back there. So anyway, don't forget. And there are those things because when you pray through, then God will break through. He brings us breakthroughs when you pray it through. It's still an old-fashioned word, but it still works. There are certain prayers, I don't know about you, but there are certain prayers that I pray every single day. I pray them over and over. When I pray over you, you know, you over the years, you run out of brand new words to say, but you pray for your children and you pray for the family and I pray for you. I pray over this church and our property and just certain things that you pray over. And when you pray, I want to say this. And many of you know this, but we need to ask the Lord sometimes, Lord, what would you have me pray for today? Who needs my prayer right now that somebody else is going to miss? Maybe they're not going to get prayer today, and so God will remind you, pray for them, pray for this. And you do. He may even remind you of how to pray for a situation that you don't know how to pray. I remember my sister Judy was in a domestic violent relationship with her husband. They've been married for a few years, but he was just violent. You know, he was just brutal. And so she would call home, and Mom and I and Lainey, we were still at home, and we would just be devastated. And she lived in Texas. And she and he were not serving the Lord. They were not going to church. And so we began to pray, and this prayer came to me, and I'll never forget it, because I said, Lord, we don't know how to pray about this. You know, I mean, you could pray God kill him or deliver her or bring her, you know. But you need those, we need those powerful prayers that will, you know, target heaven and target that thing. And radiation, when Sarah tells me when they're giving radiation to cancer patients, they target, there's a focal point, and they target that area. But I said, Lord, show us how to pray for Judy. Show us what to do. And I'll never forget that morning this prayer came. It was the next morning. And I just started praying this. And I prayed, God, send somebody to her and to Ralph. Send somebody to them that they will respect. And they will hear what they're saying, and they'll catch it in their spirit. And when they hear it, they'll believe it, and they'll get it. Sometimes family's the last one to lead your family to the Lord. You know that, don't you? And so I said, send somebody that they will highly respect. And there was a new couple that started going to the church that Judy had been going to there. And Judy loved this woman and her husband, and they had a little baby. And one day that girl just dropped by the house, and she began to talk to her, and Judy's husband came in for lunch, and when he came in, she just began to talk, and her husband said, all of a sudden, he was on his lunch hour, and he said, I just felt to go by the Manus's house. So he goes by, his wife is there. So they both walk in, and I know it was a result of my mom and my and Lainey's prayer together. Because we prayed God would send someone that they would respect. And they really loved this couple, really respected them. And there they both were. And they welcomed them into the house. And Judy and her husband were always the most hospitable ever, people that you'd ever meet. So they fixed them lunch and sat there with them. This couple began to minister to them, and they came to know the Lord. And they started going to church, and it changed their lives for many years. And so, you know, as time went by, later on they divorced, and they needed to. But I'm just saying, there are certain prayers, you guys, that we don't know how to pray about. I mean, we just do not know what else to say. That's why I felt tonight, Peggy, you and I have prayed about this, but I just felt like we need to get the body here and just tell everybody and let them pray. So ask the Lord how he would have you pray. Now let me just read you a couple of quotes from Mark Batterson here. He's a young man up in Washington, D.C. But he came from the old school Pentecostal church, and he knows how to pray. And now he's, you know, he's a young guy and got coffee houses, you know, and he's got a whole church full of young people just across the street from the Capitol. But he still wrote the book on circling prayers. And here, this is the reason I wanted to mention this to you. He talks about Gypsy Smith. How many of you, did anyone get that little tiny booklet in the bookstore called Gypsy Smith? You got it, Rose? Remember reading about Gypsy Smith? And we may still have a couple back there. They've been there for years. Some got them, some didn't, but you need to read about him. His name is Rodney Gypsy Smith, and he was born on the outskirts of London in 1860. Listen to this. He never received a formal education, yet he lectured at Harvard many times. Despite his humble origins, he was invited by two sitting United States presidents to the White House. Gypsy crisscrossed the Atlantic Ocean 45 times, preaching the gospel to millions of people, and he never preached without someone surrendering their life to the Lordship of Christ. Yet he had never been to a Bible college and had no formal teaching nor mentor. Gypsy was powerfully used by God. Everywhere he went, it seemed like revival was right on his heels. But it wasn't his preaching that brought revival. It never is. Listen to this. I love this. Preaching may move the hearts of men, but prayer moves the heart of God. And that's where revival comes from. Amen? So Gypsy revealed his secret to a delegation of revival seekers who sought to have an audience with him. And they wanted to know how could they make a difference with their lives the way he had with his. And his answer was simply yet profound, as timely and timeless now as it was 100 years ago. And Matt says he gave them this advice. He said, now, folks, you go home and you lock yourself in your room and you kneel down in the middle of the floor. You take a piece of chalk and you draw a circle around yourself. There on your knees, pray fervently and brokenly that God would start a revival within that chalk circle. Isn't that good? Start with me, Lord. Just come in this circle with me. And you and I will get it going first. Let's see. I think there's one more thing I wanted to mention. Oh, too often we pray for something once and then completely forget about it. So when God answers, we fail to give him the glory. Just because we forget what we were asking for or didn't carry it on. Well, I'll just stop at that. But say this, look, when we pray regularly, God, you'll start seeing your prayers, your answers come regularly. It's kind of like giving or like tithing. Tithing and giving, it's kind of like all connected. When you give, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, when we cast our bread out on the water, it returns on every wave. And so when people sporadically give, then there's time between their blessings. But it seems that after a while, when you put that money out there, or you put your love out there, you put seeds of all kinds of encouragement and exhortation, you put it out on every wave, it starts to come back on every wave. Pretty amazing. So keep that steady prayer life every single day. And if you miss it at the time that you usually pray, catch up there sometime, but get it. All right, Kathy, would you just put up a couple of verses for me tonight? I already mentioned it while I was praying, but this one word has been on my heart all day, and that's the word with. Luke 18:27. I know we prayed that. If you're writing it down, we could have either gone to Matthew 19:26, but I think we'll just do Luke 18:27. Luke 18:27. But he said, he's talking to his disciple, the things, read it with me, the things that are impossible with men, with God. And so when we pray, we're in his presence, we are with him. When we're talking to him, we are with him. So stay with him, because we need a whole lot of things that are impossible made possible. I just prayed that over Peggy, prayed it on my brother. Pray it constantly. Lord, I know that seems impossible, but with you, see, that's the word. Circle those promises. I mean, just keep a circle around them over and over and over in your spirit. With you, all things are possible. Jeremiah 32:17, please, Kathy. And then I'll have one more and then we'll pray. Jeremiah 32:17. But he said Jeremiah 32:17. See, that nobody else said that but Jesus right that there. That was his word. Is that Jeremiah 32:17? There it is. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made, this is so powerful, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Can you imagine God just decorating the world and doing it with his outstretched arm? There is nothing. Nothing too hard for him. So those are things that we grew up on in the church. And if we're not careful, it'll just whoop, fall off us like a water off a duck's back. No, there is nothing too hard. Hard for God. Nothing is impossible with him. So hang on to that. One more thing. Proverbs 15:8. Kathy, Proverbs 15:8. And don't forget to pray for Brother Lendl and Debbie. They'll be on their way pretty soon if they're not already. Proverbs 15:8. Look at this. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. It means hatred. Abomination means he hates it. The sacrifice of the wicked, no matter what they sacrifice, whether it be money or kindness or whatever they do, he said, I don't care about it. It's abomination to me. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. He said, you can give your house to be burned. They could just sacrifice anything they want to sacrifice and give millions of dollars away. He said, do it. Still abomination to me. But look at that. Just the prayer of the upright. You're standing upright. You're the righteousness of God. Just came in here tonight, tired. I see Roman. He's got his work boots on. And I see Gabby. Well, she doesn't have her work clothes on tonight. Maybe she does. But you just see people come in. Why? Just come in because they're upright. He said, and I'm going to delight in the prayers that I hear out of your mouth. Amen. So let's just come and delight the Lord tonight with our prayers. And don't forget, it's okay to pray circles around things. It's okay to repeat your prayer over and over. Not all of them, but some prayers, again, you will pray over and over when it comes to certain things. So, you know, I want to share something with you. I mean, it's just us here on Wednesday. Some things you could share here that you wouldn't on Sunday. But I'm going to prophesy to you right now that we're getting ready to have an influx of souls come in here. I mean, people that are seasoned, but sinners, and people that would never darken a church door. Some will be people you know, some that don't. But I'm just saying, I hear the Lord telling me, get ready, because there's going to be an influx of the people that will flock in because of what we just heard. That very song, how we need the river, how we need the rain. Holy Spirit, move through us again, we pray. Woo, Lord, I bless your name. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for your sweet family. Lord, may you bless us and keep us, cause your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. Turn your countenance toward us and all these that are to work tomorrow, doing their work and their jobs, those that are at home. Lord, even Peggy's neighbor and her, a very peaceful night tonight. And Lord, I know that that lady heard us when we told her to be quiet and sit down, go to sleep. In Jesus' name, may your countenance shine upon us and give us peace. Amen. Well, God bless you guys.